accept that.
Well, now we have an amendment on the floor. Susan, did you want to speak to the amendment?
Yeah.
Well, we're on the amendment now. Okay, Henry.
Well, I support the goal here, but I'm afraid I'm a little tangled up here because the context here that I was imagining was not that the department head wanted to send someone else, but in the situation where there is no department head. And so it doesn't make much sense if it says if any of these positions is vacant, someone else appointed by the department head, because the assumption here is no department head. So I guess I would I would probably propose that we say the managers of the training, music, news, and public affairs department or their designees. And then leave the, I guess I would say leave the what's here now. If any of these positions is vacant, someone else appointed by the general manager to represent that area.
Okay, is there, Chandra, you want to speak to the amendment?
Yes, appointed, so I would go along with or their designees if any of these positions is vacant, comma, someone else appointed by the general manager until the department head position is filled. So in other words, once that department head position is filled, then they would become the person who would designate somebody to replace them.
Okay, I think we get the intent. Is there further discussion of this amendment? John?
I can't hear John.
Speak to the microphone.
I move to table.
Okay, to table the domain motion. Is that...
John's comments were that after hearing the discussion, he didn't think that we were ready to vote, so that he moved to table it.
The main motion.
The whole thing, and I would move to table it to the next board meeting so that we all have an opportunity to consider all of the ramifications.
Okay. Did I hear a second?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, there was a motion to amend a portion of Part B, and then John Van Eyck has just moved to table the main motion, so that's what's on the floor now. Doesn't that supersede? Okay.
Was it a majority or two-thirds?
The argument for tabling for people who came in late was that it doesn't look like we're ready to vote on this at this point because there's this mix-up on the question of the department heads and the general manager, et cetera. So the idea was that it would table until next meeting so that people would have an opportunity to go back over it and make it more consistent with what people's concerns were here. That was the argument.
Okay, so are people... Is a motion to table debatable?
No.
I wish we had a parliamentarian
I don't think
here.
It is.
Okay. So all those in favor of tabling the main motion, raise your hands. Nine. Opposed? Nine to seven, the motion to table carries. I should have asked for extensions, for abstentions. Okay, it's the main motion is tabled. The amendment becomes moot for the time being, I suppose.
Well, a clarification on the motion.
Shonda?
John moved to table, and then someone else moved to table to the next meeting. So I'm unclear.
That's what he said.
To the next meeting?
He said to the next meeting.
Okay, fine. And that's
what he said.
Tracy?
To the next meeting is a different motion. There is no such thing as table to the next meeting. If it is on the table, it requires a motion to get it off the table. If it's a postponed to the next meeting, that's a different motion. John, what was your motion?
To table.
Well, it was to table.
Then the motion is tabled. That does not mean postponed to the next meeting. Does anyone want to change their vote?
Yeah, well, my understanding was it was till the next meeting.
That is not the case. It is... Then I think we need to retake the vote, understanding that table means on the table until removed by motion.
Okay, let's be clear now what we're voting on. The motion is, so it cannot be brought back. Cannot be brought back. Saved by another
right
vote.
Now.
By another vote.
Okay.
Okay.
What? A table means is that it is indefinitely postponed until there is a majority vote of this board of directors to bring it back.
Okay.
That's
Sherry,
what it means.
Sherry.
I move that it be put as the first item of business on the next regularly scheduled meeting of the LSB. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Could you call the question?
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's go to a vote. A yes vote moves this to first item of business on the next LSB meeting. All in favor?
Whatever.
Joe?
So there was a motion to vote on the table, which was pending.
You need a motion.
It was ambiguous. It was ambiguous.
They did, and it passed.
Okay. Well.
I think it was unclear what we
information.
Had proposed.
It was information.
Right.
No, the information, there was confusion on the part of the body to what exactly they were voting on. Therefore, it is actually within the bounds of Robert's Rules of Order to do what we're doing now. There was confusion, legitimate confusion on the part of the body. If you want to get technical about this, let's do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're actually trying to do is not, I mean, the feeling was that not
time.
To table it permanently, but to just push it off until the next meeting so people had a chance so to look at the parts that don't fit. Okay? So that's really what it is. This is a waste of time.
Point of order.
Tracy. Okay, Joe.
Point of order simply was, you know, putting aside all the editorializing, there was a motion to table, as clarified by John, and we were going to vote, as you know, with people clear on what they're voting on. As we're about to vote on that, I thought suddenly there was another motion to postpone to the next meeting, and I'm saying that's out of order. That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
Procedurally, you know, improper. So you know if. First, we need to dispose of the motion to table one way or the other, and I think at that point the issue becomes whatever, you know, it's either tabled or it's not.
Yeah.
Can we agree that this vote will supersede the previous vote on account of the terms being inconsistent, that one doesn't table to the next meeting? Those terms are inconsistent, and that reflects confusion on the part of the body.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so the motion... The motion on the floor is to move this item to the first item of business. Joe?
I thought I just clarified that what was on the table was a revote on the motion table, period. I was saying that Sherry's motion is out of order. All we're going to do, I thought, is vote to table, and that's that. In terms of procedural order,
yes. You re-vote on the motion to table because members of the body were confused by what the motion meant.
The motion itself was inconsistent. Do we need to vote on whether we need a vote?
Yes, we need to vote on the motion to table, and then we can take up other motions based on the result.
Oh. Okay, we'll revisit the vote to table the motion on program council. All in favor of...
I don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm completely lost now. We took
a vote on a motion which was, quote-unquote, a motion to table to the next meeting. Then we've been told that there is no such thing in Robert's rules. It's either table or postpone to the next
motion.
Meeting.
Right.
We have to clarify that, and at least some members would prefer that we re-vote that motion and then vote a new motion. All those in favor of tabling the... Please, audience, be quiet, please. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Thank you. All those in favor of table... This is a re-vote of the motion to table. All those in favor of tabling this motion, raise your hands. 6. Opposed. 8-6. The motion to table is defeated. Does someone have a point of order? Sherry, what's your...
I move to postpone the motion to the first item of business on the next regularly scheduled agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Okay. Tracy, do you have a point of information?
No, I wanted to discuss. Well, I can call it a point of information. We can get around it that way. I just want to point out that we may well have a budget to look at in August. We may well have GM candidates to hire. So I think we may need to simply postpone to the next meeting without appointing an agenda position in advance, because at this point we don't know what other time-sensitive items we will have to deal with.
Is that acceptable? Okay, that change is acceptable to all? Okay. Objection? Hearing none. Let's vote on that. The motion to postpone this item to the next meeting. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 yes. Opposed? 6, 11-6, abstentions. 11-6, it passes. Personnel committee is the next. Who would like to take that up?
Okay, so the GM hire committee has started meeting in May. We've had 44 applications, and that had originally been narrowed down to 15. We kind of kept the date open, so some more applications came in. We met to evaluate the 15 plus 3. And we have it down now to a pool of 11. We were looking for a pool of 10, but we had a tie for 10th place, so we have 11 candidates to interview. The interview dates are scheduled for the early part of August, the evenings of August 9th and 10th, to be exact, although I think we're going to have to add another date to that as well. We still are getting some applications in. And I should say we had 44 applications, but I should qualify that. Since there are 4 of the 5 stations are looking for a general manager, some of the people are applying to all the stations. Some of them are applying to some of the stations, ourselves included. And then we have a scattering that are applying to just KPFA alone. So it's a 44 is the total of that. We were the last of the 4 stations to start the hire process, and I understand we are the fastest moving of all of them. And it is my sincere desire to keep it that way, because in terms of the candidates who are applying to 4 stations, for example, there might be a wonderful candidate in there who could get hired away by one of the other stations. So I'd like us to stay in advance. Let's see. I mean, we will have candidates no later than the to this board no later than the September meeting, unless the committee is missing in action as they are for the 4th of July. Basically, a good chair of the committee says that they cannot meet in July. We had this down before, I think it was July 2nd meeting, and unfortunately we're not actually doing any interviews for 5 weeks. I have one concern. The way we did this, the way we did the rankings where people, you know, read over all of the letters and resumes and did the rankings that way, there were people who were very slow at the reading process. During the meetings, there were people who came in very late to meetings. There were two people who have yet to appear at a meeting of this committee members. And so we made applications and resumes also available Monday through Friday during the workday at the Pacifica office. And were able to, there were some people who went over there, we were also able to get together with one candidate. I passed on applications. So one person could do the ranking. And I'm a little concerned because that was an email ranking and it looks like one member of the committee is protesting, including their rankings of these candidates. And I am somewhat concerned about that. I don't have committee members back in town until the beginning of August. And then we will be moving ahead to do interviews that will have been scheduled. And it would really be a terrible thing if people being back in town suddenly caused the committee to be thrown into turmoil because they don't want to include one person's rankings that were by email from that person. So I have some concern about that. I don't want to lose. I mean, I don't know. We're not moving forward at all for 5 weeks as a committee, which, you know, may put us behind others, and I really don't want us to be put further behind because then our options are really going to narrow. Or could possibly narrow in terms of four of the five stations looking for a GM. So that is a concern of mine, and that's where we are at this point. Any questions?
I think since we took vote to put those people on the committee, in my opinion, those two people you say they have never showed up, I think they should be taken off. Maybe you should have somebody, other people who are alternative. I don't know who those two people are. Because if I decide to be on a committee, such an important committee, as you said, you want to hire this GM, then you should replace them with other people with voting. Those people should be responsible, do their duty.
Well, if I may stop you for a moment, one person did resign because she doesn't have the time and has been replaced.
Okay, and the other person maybe should do the same thing so it will help the committee to move on. And the other, is there a possibility that you put some of these things in writing and put it for us in the email and the board? Because lots of people are asking, people who are running for election, community people, what's happening? Is there could be a report to put out, at least you are in a hiring process so people know what's going on? Especially it's during election time, people want to know what's happening to the station. If you could have a report out, it'd be useful.
I have no problem with doing a report that says, you know, what I just said now. I mean, that's a report that's being put together actually will be the PMB meets next weekend, I guess, here in Berkeley. Is it next weekend or the weekend after? Next weekend. And that will be there for the PMB as well. I will be doing that report. Sure.
You know,
and I would agree with you. Thanks. I think that somebody who does not, you know, show up at any of the meetings, you know, ought not to be on the committee. And I don't know, is our chair willing to entertain some resolutions to...
Well, the chair is obliged to entertain what motions the members make.
Well, Anthony,
sure.
With respect to that, the final matter that Sasha brought up in terms of rankings of the candidates, there is this question evidently on whether this one person, this committee member's ranking should be counted because she sent her ranking through email. I would argue that it should be. I think that was, you know, that was something that if you're trying to be more inclusive and trying to get their rankings by different members, I think that would be the way to do it. One other concern I had was the fact that, I mean, this time around, at least, non-voting members actually were involved in ranking the candidates. So when you're, I think it's a better practice to include the voting members' ranking to the extent practicable, given the fact that there were five. If you don't, then you'll be left out with five. I think five voting members' ranking and two non-voting members. So there's a little bit, you know, the numbers will be a little skewed. So I would support that. In fact, I would, if needed, I would like to put a motion forward to include the ranking of that one presented by that one committee member to be included in terms of selection of the candidates for the interview, which I believe is scheduled for August. That's my motion.
Yeah, if I may, normally there's a representative chosen by paid staff and another by unpaid staff for this committee. And in the past, they've not been allowed to vote at all. And they're not going to actually vote, you know, for the ranking from this, you know. Their opinions will be taken into consideration at the meetings when we do the interviews. But I did feel that we surely should be hearing from the staff as to who the head of staff should be, and so I decided that both the paid and the unpaid staff member ought to be voting and ought to be expressing their opinion in the selection process of who should be interviewed, just to let you all know.
Okay, Pamela?
Just one, can somebody tell us, we don't remember who is on that committee?
Sure. It's myself and Sharam and Renee and Andrea Turner and Dan Siegel. Banafshe was. She resigned and, you know, Anthony was elected. And Brian Edward Tigert, sorry.
That Mitch was on it.
Mitch Jezerich and Rivian, what is Rivian's last name?
Berning.
Are the two staff reps, one for paid staff, one for unpaid.
To me, it doesn't sound like an important issue, but apparently it is. So what is the argument against using the ratings of somebody who sent them in by email? Why not?
Well, I got an email from one committee member just this week. As I said, our meeting was, I believe, on July 2nd. It was the Thursday before the 4th of July. Maybe that was July 1st. And I got from one committee member sort of protesting that just this week, so I hadn't heard from anybody, you know, for a while. That might have even been June 30th, whatever that last Thursday was. So my concern is that they're all out of town. I mean, we have, well, Dan, I don't know where Dan is, but Andrea Turner's out of town. Brian's out of town. Sharam is about to go out of town. Who else? Mitch said he was hung up and work-wise was working too hard to meet for the month of July. So we have a number of people who can't meet in the month of July, and so I'm just concerned that people protest the inclusion of these email rankings when they get back into town in August and we're about to interview candidates, and instead of being able to interview candidates, we're meeting to fight about this. Frankly, I'm quite concerned about that, and I think this committee has to keep moving forward, and if the board can do something to support that, that would be very helpful.
So that's what my motion is for, to prevent a potential chaos at the beginning of August when everybody comes back. And Sasha is supposed to schedule interviews with these candidates. Mm-hmm. And those interviews will be scheduled based on the rankings. Mm-hmm. if she doesn't know that, she would have to call somebody else, you know, and change it. And you know, so I'm trying to prevent that situation from. Yeah.
Okay. So.
So anybody wants to second my motion?
What exactly is the motion, and would you explain?
Okay, Matthew.
All right. The motion is that the ranking of the candidates by the committee members will be right at the time will be factored in selection of the candidates for the interview, irrespective of the fact that whether they were in a meeting or they send the rankings through an email. That's basically the motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, a yes vote will affirm Shyam's motion.
I have a question.
Laura?
I mean, why do we need to vote on this? You can't just implement that in your committee.
Well, we cannot object.
I'm concerned that the committee not get bogged down, and instead of interviewing candidates, I have to cancel all the interviews so that we can sit there and be bogged down for 4 hours discussing this. As you might have noticed, this body is sometimes prone to do.
Okay. John?
I just wanted to be clear. We're talking about a single email.
Correct.
Tracy?
I called the question.
Okay. Very good. Is everyone ready to vote? Okay. All in favor of Shram's motion, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I abstain.
I counted 14 yes. Were there any no's? I didn't
see
any.
One abstention.
Okay. Yep. Passes. PNB committee matter. Wait, did we?
Ethics policy.
Right. Was that table? Okay, Baki.
Before we go into the PNB, I just want to say that the Andrea Pritchett has been, you know, chairing the outreach committee.
And she's pulled the mic a little closer.
She's doing a very good job of organizing two events, Juneteenth and at the Socialist Conference at Marriott. We had a table and a bunch of the volunteers, Perry and Kelly made a one sheet program grid that was very popular. We handed out many of those, and Sally Stubbs made a history of KPFA also, which was also handed out to probably, you know, several hundred people. So I just want to acknowledge that Andrea is a person who sort of took the, you know, charge of the thing and moving that committee forward. So just want to thank her for that.
Okay, and now we're on to PNB committee matter. I can't remember if that item is still on our... Okay, Tracy.
There are two PNB committee matters. The first is the matter of the ethics policy that the Pacifica National Board asked all LSB members to sign. The hope is that people will sign. And then the second issue regards the election committee, which is actually somewhat moot, and I can do a quick explanation when we're up to the item. Those are the two items on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Con?
Well, I'm looking at this reporting ethics violation. We strongly encourage you. Now, if you're writing an editorial, that's known as mush. I have no idea. We strongly encourage you. I don't think this means anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything at all. There's no sanction involved in it. What are we signing? And what concerns me is when I sign something and put my name and position, LSB member, I want to know what I'm signing, and I'm signing mush. Now, two ways to look at mush. One way is to say, well, it doesn't mean anything. The other way is the problem with mush is mush can be interpreted in lots of different ways. And I'm not comfortable with this. And we strongly encourage is the action part of this ethics violation. And it's silly.
Okay, Tracy?
I'm going to suggest that since this issue has been thoroughly debated on the PNB for a six-month period of time, and it is not really our decision, that we simply leave it to the discretion of the members of this board to sign it or to refuse to sign it and move on to the next agenda item. I don't think we should debate something that we're not deciding.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Sign it or don't sign it. I mean, it's not, it doesn't matter. Okay. Do what you can do.
I'm sorry. That is not the way you do things. The PNB has done this. They debated it for 6 months, sign it or don't sign it. I'm sorry, I'm not a member of the PNB. I'm a member of the LSB. And the fact is that this term strongly encouraged, if this took 6 months to debate, God have mercy on our souls. So I'm not going to sign it, but that's not the point. The point about it is, if you don't sign it, what does it mean?
I don't know. You'll find out, I guess. If you
sign nobody else is bothered by this?
Someone will respond. I don't know.
I mean, nobody else is bothered by the fact that maybe if you don't sign something that says strongly encourage, that the PNB is going to come down on you? That doesn't concern anybody?
I signed it.
Matthew, you look poised to speak.
Oh, all right. I just say this on page 4, this conflict of interest thing, the underlying principle of conflict of interest is that employees and volunteers should avoid any activity, investment, or interest that might reflect unfavorably on the reputation of the Pacifica Foundation. I think it would be very, very hard to figure out how you would establish objectively what the criteria for judging what reflects unfavorably on Pacifica. I think it's a pretty difficult thing to try to do, to come up with this kind of ethics policy that's so comprehensive.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none and hearing no motion proposed, I guess we go on to the next item. Tracy, did you want to take that up?
Yeah, the election committee item was initiated by the chair of the Pacifica National Board relating to PNB committees and people that had had more than 3 unexcused absences in a row from the same committee. The election committee was brought up as one of the committees that had this problem. The KPFA representative was Dan Siegel, who had not attended an election meeting since February and, in fact, still hasn't. Although he did request an excused absence, I believe, at the last meeting. My understanding, Joe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the PNB has basically not decided to go ahead with enforcing the rule at this point in time because it apparently had not been clearly communicated to all committee members that they were subject to the rule. So that's my understanding. So at this point, I'm inclined to withdraw the item unless you have better information than I do. Item withdrawn.
Okay. Takes us to...
So, I'm sorry. So, what rule isn't... So, does that mean that committee members who don't show up for 3 committees are still on the committee?
They are at the moment. In other words, it has now been communicated to all committee members that they are responsible for not missing 3 unexcused absences. If they do have 3 unexcused absences, they can be removed from the committee.
And does that also apply to LSB committees?
I don't think the PNB has issued an opinion on whether it applies to LSB committees. That's a good question. I can bring it up next weekend and try to get an answer for you. I don't know
right
now.
That would be great, yeah.
Okay, that brings us to unfinished business. First item of which is the access motion of Chandra Hoffman. Chandra, do you have something to say on this motion?
I hope you'll reaffirm what we passed in 08. I mean, I don't think we have to go through this all again. Everybody supported it 2 years ago. most of the recommendations in here, even the non-monetary items, have not been implemented. The people with disabilities at KPFA, including staff and visitors and listeners and guests, do not have a liaison from KPFA to go to if they have accessibility issues. This is a real problem, and that's just one example of a non-monetary item that has not been implemented. And as you see how the resolution is broken out, it gives great discretion in terms of what can be implemented. We have the no cost, the $500 and under, and the above $500 items. And we have many more budget items, but these are the priorities. And so I hope that this board will reaffirm what was already approved, and we can move on.
Con?
Thank you.
Call a question.
Any objections? Seeing none? I did. Seeing no objections, all in favor of this motion, please raise your hands. Or is there, appears to be unanimous. Well, raise your hands once. For okay.
Are there any objections?
That's what we said.
Okay. Okay. Unanimous. Thank you, Chandra.
I have a question. Now, how do we put teeth in this? Anybody have a suggestion?
I was just going to say, I mean, you inform the interim general manager that the resolution was passed and sit down and talk about implementation.
So ask him to meet with representatives of the Access Committee.
I can do it at a department head meeting on Monday.
Excuse me?
I go to department head meetings on Mondays, so I could bring it to them on Monday.
And ask that he... that he'd be willing to meet with representatives of the Access Committee meeting. Access Committee, and I would set that meeting up. Okay, thank you.
Now we come to Chandra's budget reporting item.
Okay, this has been on the agenda for quite some time. The reason why I initiated this motion is because for many years, including this current fiscal year, the board votes and approves a budget around September of the fiscal year that gets implemented in October 1. And every time that we've done that in years past and including the current budget, budget modifications occur, which is normal under any process. But the budget never comes back to the LSB, and we never get a chance to reconsider the budget modifications. And we should have a role because this is one of our primary fiduciary responsibilities. So we should have a role in reviewing budget modifications. And the way the motion is written, it gives great discretion to the manager, because it only includes items related to personnel and salaries and consultants, basically. And if there's an emergency item, you know, a transmitter breaks, you know, air conditioning, whatever, you know, like a capital improvement issue or other kind of emergency, they don't have to come to the LSB, and they have... And they can spend up to $15,000 without coming to the LSB. But it still gives the LSB a role in reviewing and sanctioning what cuts come that are not, or increases, cuts or increases, that are not, that were not previously approved. And therefore, that is why this budget motion was written. Post.
Okay. I have a number of things. I'll keep them short because other people have things to say. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking $15,000. If you take and you add, like, workers' compensation and you add benefits and everything like that, you're talking about the LSB having to approve a one-quarter position at KPFA. Now, a general manager is going to be the general manager of a station in which he has to go to the local station board, which meets once a month, in order to decide whether he can or she or he can add a one-quarter position. Or if he decides to shift funds from one salary position to another, using any fund, anything not previously approved by the LSB can be implemented with only explicit approval of the LSB. This is micromanaging on a level that it's a formula for disaster. I mean, I understand the need for transparency. And I know that we feel like we get a budget and then things get out of control and everything. But there's a way to do that, that we can have quarterly reports on where things are, et cetera. This is asking the LSB to step in to the day-to-day functionings of the station. $15,000 sounds like a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. It is not a lot of money. And if there was, for instance, a major physical breakdown in the station, $15,000, I mean, that's nothing. That's just gone. This is micromanaging. This is the LSB running KPFA. I think it's an insult to the staff. As a manager, I would never accept it. And it's just not what we should be doing.
Chandra?
Okay. Since it's the first time it's been discussed, I would be willing to propose a motion to postpone to the next meeting and sit down with some people who have questions and concerns and make modifications to it. One of the main motivating factors that initiated my putting together this motion, and maybe the wording doesn't satisfy everybody, is, for example, this past fiscal year, this current fiscal year, there were just recently two new hires, actually three new hires that were not openly posted per EEO guidelines, that no one else besides the people within the station that got the appointments were given an opportunity to apply for. This is not a fair and equitable issue. And that's one of my concerns. And another one is that consultants come and go, and we don't know what they do. We've never gotten information on, even in previous budgets, we've never gotten information on the consultants and their salaries and what functions they perform and how much money it costs us. And so I think there are issues that need to be addressed here. And I would be willing to consider sitting down with people to work on the phraseology of this motion. But I really want to see something put forward that can be approved before the next budget is implemented.
Sasha's next.
Would you consider a motion that would direct the general manager or any IGM that all job openings must be posted and have an open enrollment period, and also that consultants, you know, something around consultants. You know, I was even looking at the consultants thing there and saying, okay, you know, you hire a consultant, I think it's going to cost me $3,000, but you know, it turns out the job is longer and longer, and this person is terrific, and eventually they cost $25,000, but I'm hiring them for $3,000 or $5,000 at a crack. You know, it occurred to me that maybe you want to cap something, that when they hit $15,000, we need an explanation. I mean, if the concern is all around jobs, because I agree. I mean, what happens if a transmitter goes down? You know, until the board meets and passes a motion, we can't be on the air again?
No, we excluded emergency issues. We excluded capital budget expenditures. There are other concerns that I have. For example, in this last budget that we approved, there was $0 allocated in this budget, in fiscal year 09's budget, for layoffs or for severance pay. And we were mandated by the PMB in fiscal 08 to make $300,000 worth of cuts in KPFA's budget. And nothing was reflected in the budget that we approved with this information. So that's another example of there being a lack of transparency. As I say, I'm willing to work on the wording, but there are issues of concern that I think really should come before the board.
Okay, Saraya?
Well, I appreciate that you want to include other views, but this concerns me when you said the examples of hiring people without giving opportunity to others. Actually, in the labor law, that could be opening up a door for legal, you know, lawsuits if everybody's not included, if they just give it to certain people. So that's a good resolution to, you know, do something before something happens to the station. And I really totally agree. Even last time in 2008, at the end of the year, we passed that resolution for the budget. I mean, the budget we approved, and the manager never gave us the dollar number for the consultant. That's part of our budget. As an LSB member, I want to know where the money went and how much, so when staff gets cut and programming, we know where to do what. It's not micromanagement. I agree with you. We don't want to micromanagement the manager either. We are just like advisory committee, but these certain things has to be in place, so, you know, it doesn't happen like that. Thank you.
Laura, then Matthew.
I thought it was already in place that all jobs had to be posted. I mean, I already think that's there.
It is per EEO guidelines, but EEO guidelines were violated 3 times this current calendar year already that I know of, maybe more times.
Hey, Matthew.
Okay. Well, you know, thinking about this really, the hope would be that we will be hiring a general manager who has some vision and can take initiative in a whole number of areas to get our station moving in an exciting direction. When I think about this, is every major change will be brought to this board. Every person they hire over $15,000, every expenditure like that for on personnel. And then how do we make a decision on that? How does this board make a decision? What do we know about the specifics of this person, of the way the monies are allocated in the station? It would take forever to get anything through this board. I just think we have to rely much more on good, comprehensive evaluations of the work of the general manager rather than trying to judge everything that he's doing in the process of doing it. I think it'd be a bureaucratic nightmare.
Thank you for your comments.
Sandra,
can I respond?
Wait for the next person. Okay, Tracy is next, then Rich, then Con.
Ideally, I think a board of directors should do a general budgetary review halfway through the year in terms of identifying significant discrepancies and why they happened and why they didn't and what to do about them. And there may be some particular kinds of expenses that it would make sense to trigger a board review. I'm not sure that in the writing of this we've clearly identified exactly what those would be, and I think we're working with a fairly low number. And to me, the language and the wording is not clear about what triggers and what doesn't. So basically, I'm going to second the motion to postpone because I don't think we're quite there yet in terms of a workable motion.
Okay, Rich, then Con, then Chandra.
Well, this not only smacks to me of micromanagement, it screams, yells, hollers, shouts of micromanagement, because we're talking about 0.3% of the budget, if we're assuming that KPFA has a $4.1 million budget or somewhere in that neighborhood. That's a very, very small amount, that any change is that small, having to be moved around. And a lot of times when you are making a budget, you may have things like you're saying, well, you know, PG&E is going to cost us, you know, $75,000 this year. Then they raise their rates. it may be enough that it triggers you into enough that suddenly you've got a huge amount, a huge difference, because you've got transmitters, you've got, you know, studios and all these costs, and you may find that suddenly things like that, you know, are more. You have to move things around as things happen. Your insurance rates go up, you know, your BMI ASCAP CSAC rates go up, your costs for streaming go up ways that you weren't expected because of legal rulings that have happened. Also on the EEO, there are guidelines for EEO that are very extensive that the FCC issues, including all EEO stuff has to be posted on your website if you have five or more full-time employees. And they also talk about all the job fairs you have to do and all the other things that are involved in being a broadcaster. And I don't know if Pacifica is in compliance with those. I think there are a lot of things that Pacifica is not in compliance with. I have not seen a printed annual report sent to me as a member, which is required within 90 days of the end of the fiscal year by California State Corporate Code. I've never seen one. Maybe I've missed getting mine. But there are, I think, a lot of issues that we need to look at coming into compliance with. But I don't think this resolution is the way to do it.
Con, Chandra...
Okay, I can certainly point to wording. I mean, Shauna said something about emergency things are not considered. Yes, they are. There isn't anything that excludes them here. And it says, this includes but not limited to. When you use the word not limited to, that means everything's in there. But the point about it is, it's not the wording. This is not what we should be doing. I want to work on wording. That's just put lipstick on a pig. I mean, it's still a pig. This is not what we should be doing. And this kind of direct interference in the functioning of the radio station is a formula for disaster.
Chandra.
Okay, a couple of comments. First to what Khan said. When we got the budget last year, the deficit at KPFA was misrepresented by several hundred thousand dollars. We didn't find out about that until after we approved it. There was another matter that occurred where funds that were supposed to be in the bank were not in the bank, and I don't want to go into details regarding that matter, but the point is it made a significant difference in the budget as we saw it. I am willing to sit down, as I said, maybe 15,000 is too low. I'd be willing to change the trigger mechanism. I'm not looking to micromanage. What I am looking for is that the board protect its fiduciary responsibility in ensuring that the budget correctly reflects what the expenses are that occur. And I'm willing to work with anybody that wants to sit down with me to help revise it. I hope Khan would be one of the people, for example. I hope, you know, anybody, well, that's what I'm saying. I would be willing to postpone it, and I would be willing to sit down with and talk to people that would work with me on revised language.
I can't speak if I'm going to call on the question. So I call a question because essentially Khan said what I was going to say pretty much.
Second.
Okay. Any objection to calling the question or to ending debate? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, raise your hands. The motion on budget reporting.
We're not postponing. Nobody made a motion to postpone. Nobody made a motion to postpone.
She said.
Whoa. Point of order. She can't make a motion to postpone. She didn't make. She said it after she. After she spoke, she said, "I'd consider a motion to postpone."
Yeah,
there's no motion to postpone on the,
Chandra,
on the floor.
Chandra, you said you would. Hold, come on. Let's have order here. Chandra, you said you'd be willing to postpone and discuss, but I didn't hear you. Maybe I missed it. I didn't hear you make a motion to that effect.
Can I be given some leniency here? I mean, I'm trying to do what's right for KPFA to protect our assets. Can I be given some leniency? And would somebody else Would the person that called for, you know, call the question, be willing to withdraw that so we could have a motion to postpone?
No, because I am against the entire idea of this motion. I'm not looking for a postponement. When I said putting lipstick on a pig, that's what I meant. I'm opposed to the LSB having anything to do with this kind of micromanaging. Absolutely not. I don't care what kind of wording you use on it.
Okay, point of order information, something like that.
Tracy?
It sounds to me like we're going to have two motions on the table. We have a call the question. We can proceed with that. If the motion does not... Well, how do we do this? I seconded a motion to postpone it to the next meeting. I'd still like to get that onto the floor if possible.
But the question is which motion takes precedence, the calling the question or to postpone? Okay. Let's have a show of hands. All in favor of the motion, raise your hands.
Wait a minute, what is
to pass this motion?
The original motion. Okay. The original
All in favor, raise your hands.
Wait, Chandra's motion?
Yes.
You're voting on this motion. Okay. You're not voting on, you're just voting on this motion.
I personally said I would be willing to revise it, so we can bring back.
It's not a
willingness. Wait, let's vote on this motion. All in favor, raise your hand. No one's in favor? One. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six. The motion fails.
And abstentions.
Abstentions. One, two, three, four, five, six abstentions.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move to postpone to the next meeting. I move to postpone consideration of this motion to the next meeting.
Chair, point of order. Point.
Con.
I have a point of order.
All right.
A motion came up. It was defeated. That's the end of the motion. You can't postpone something that's been defeated.
Okay. Soraya, what are you speaking to?
Just one small thing I want.
What are you speaking to? What are you speaking to?
I was wondering if legally they have done this illegal things she just talked about. I don't want to be part of like what this other resolution has one day to be sued because as LSB we didn't oversee some of this illegal activity of hiring people, not giving equal opportunity to be involved with that. So when that day comes, somebody like Khan and those, they should be caught in. They should be representing that manager who's making wrong decisions. I don't want to be part of that board, which doesn't give equal opportunity to people to be hired.
Okay, that's Joe.
That's why she has tried to make this motion.
Joe.
I don't think it's for micromanagement.
Joe, you had the floor. Okay. Next item of business is program policy.
Yeah, that motion is withdrawn. It's so old that it is basically moot. So it's withdrawn, and the programming committee is operational, and it is working on those items. So no need for the motion.
Okay, and the final item, LSB committees, Bucky.
This motion was motivated by the fact that, like, in the outreach committee, we have, like, about 10 people signed up. And 8 people don't show up ever. So by default, we could never have a quorum. So even though outreach is a sort of a neat kind of a thing and we can do it, if we can't reach quorum, we can't do anything. So the LSB, the bylaw says that the committee should have at least 2 LSB members. So this is to sort of mitigate when all these people sign up and don't show up, we still get to do something.
Where is the motion set out?
It's in the LSB committee. It's right below the policy program that Tracy just withdrew.
No, the language.
The language is right.
It's in the agenda. Okay. I'll second the motion.
Okay. Yeah. Discussion? John.
Well, I think I'm just having
trouble with the motion only because I probably don't understand what is the quorum. How is quorum for committees currently set?
It's a majority of the members.
Okay.
So if 10 people sign up, only 2 people show up every time, which is what happened in the outreach committee, then we never have a quorum. Because everybody has a good sentiment to be on a committee, but they don't have the time to come. So.
Is there anybody who objects to this? Is there anybody who objects to this motion?
No.
Okay.
You can pass a motion by acclamation, folks. You know, it gets done all the time. It saves time.
Okay, we saw no objection, then the motion is passed by acclamation. Is there any business?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adjourn. Hearing no objection, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you, everyone. See you next month.